morning, everybody.
Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
Welcome to the people online, the millions out there that are sitting in here with us and discussing the deeper truths. Last week, I just want to say for the purpose of the people who aren't here in person, the label on our internet says that we discussed last week 1 Corinthians, but we didn't. We got into this deeper truth and we were just kind of chatting and we just decided to talk about Zechariah, and it was so beautiful. It was so ordained of the Lord. It was such a nice opening of the deeper things into the easiness of understanding if you just sit and listen to the voice of the Lord. And so we've decided to take one more day and to go a little bit deeper into Zechariah. And I think that we ought to begin with a prayer. Clyde?
Precious Lord, again, we thank you for gathering in your name and you greeting us. Uh-huh. Because, Lord, where your presence is, your strength is, and your mercy is. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, just have your way among this class. Give us ears to hear what mm-hmm. your spirit would say. We'll glorify the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, our amplified readers. It looks like if Buddy's tired, but you two decide amongst yourselves.
I thought we weren't going to do that. Yeah.
We're not going to be able to read through any other translation.
Except
is that King James?
We'll read the King James just to go through it one time.
Okay.
And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to explain to you what everything
so
means.
So we're not doing amplified?
No, because it doesn't bring out, it won't bring out what I'm going to bring out. What I'm bringing out here will be totally hidden.
It'll be King James.
Okay, so where are we starting?
At the first verse.
Oh, we're starting right over all
the way. At Zechariah's sixth chapter, the first verse. We're going to read all 15 verses. There's
okay.
Only 15 verses there.
Who has King James? Debbie, would you read that?
And I turned and lifted mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. You want the whole thing, Oscar?
Yeah, you can just read all the way through the whole thing if you will.
In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot, black horses. And in the third chariot, white horses. And in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses, which are therein, go forth unto the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go, that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even the Heldai of Tobijah and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Helem, and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. Help me to bring forth the beauty of your hidden word here, Father, because I believe this is a tremendous word. And if we'll hear what you're saying here, you're just laying it right out, and you're just telling us exactly what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes,
Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll start reading again, and I'm going to read here a little bit. Anybody got anything they want to say before we start? Okay. Now, I entitled this The Hidden Word of God. Okay. So that'll be what's on the webpage when we put it in there, The Hidden Word of God. And I'm going to read back through what you just read a little bit here, but I'm going to read kind of quickly. He says, "And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came forth four chariots from between the mountains, and the mountains were brass." Brass always talks about judgment. So he's talking about this is going to come, some judgment is going to come out of this. "And in the first chariot were red horses, in the second chariot black horses, in the third chariot white horses, in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. And I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord?" Remember that. You always need to ask God when you're doing scripture, what is this about, God? Because if you don't, he won't tell you. You got to ask. And he said, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel answered and said unto me, "These are the four spirits of the heaven, which go forth standing before the Lord of the earth." Now, it says the black horses, which are therein, go forth into the north country, and the white goeth after them. Now we're going to do some word studies here. Black, it's the thought or the ideal of duskiness or early dawn, dim or dark in color. Okay, I've shared with you all before messages in the past about when I was a little boy sleeping in a poster bed and having... We used to hang our clothes on the end of the poster bed because back then you didn't have closets in them old apartments. Mm-hmm. You had a shiver robe. They called the shiver robe. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, and I can remember as a little boy going to sleep at night, and I maybe hung my clothes on the end of the bedpost and maybe even a ball cap or something. And sometimes I would wake up just at the beginning of dawn, and I would see that, and I would get scared because I would think there was somebody standing at the end of my bed, you know. And I mean, I was just a little kid, so I, you know, little kids have a vivid imagination. So I'd get scared. But anyway, as the light broke through, that was the dusk or the dawn, see. As the light broke through, then I began to see clearly what it was. And I realized it was just something that I had put there, mm-hmm. see. And anyway... So we have black horses here. Horses always talks about something with strength and something that goes forth with strength, okay? And anyway, so and it said it's going, the black horse goes forth through the to the north. And if you look up the definition of the word north in Strong's, you'll find out that it means dark, used only as north quarter, gloomy, unknown. Okay, mm-hmm. And the root word for north is hid, something hidden. It means esteemed, lurky, hidden ones, secret places, secret. Okay, so that's talking about the black horse there. That's something right. That's hidden, that's not quite visible. You don't really know exactly what's happening there, but it's talking about the north going through forth from the north. To the north. Well, the north is always the hidden and the unknown. And we deal with the hidden and unknown all the time.
Right.
Constantly. Okay. Did you have something you want to say, Clyde?
No, I was just going to talk about the unknown.
Okay.
That's your good.
Okay. Then the white. White is a diminutive verb, and it derives from the word Laban. Where'd you ever hear that word before?
Laban.
Remember in the Old Testament? Who where did Jacob go in the Old Testament?
Laban.
Laban's house. He learned a lot of things at Laban's house. Yeah. Laban means white. Okay? Laban means white. And I'll give you the rest of the meaning for that. It's a diminutive verb derived from Laban. The major theological Moffat relates whiteness to moral purity, the cleansing which God brings to sinners and makes them their sin whiter than snow. Okay? So he's starting to tell us a message here about these horses. So they're going forth. Psalm 51:7 says, this was David after he had sinned with Bathsheba. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the word Laban again. Proverbs 25:2 says, now this is where we're at here today. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. And conceal means to hide a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. Okay, we're called to be what?
Kings and priests
unto God. Mm-hmm. We need to ask the Lord, help us to search out the matters so that we really understand the hidden things. This is all hidden here, because if you read this in a natural, you get none of what I'm saying to you here. Okay, then it says down here, it talks about the grizzled or spotted, you know, talking about grizzled horse. That's the one. Did I jump down too far? Yeah. This is going back to Zechariah. It talks about the grizzled or spotted horse. And that word grizzled means, it means as with hail. And I talked to you a couple weeks ago, and I said something to you about what is hail. Hail is hard water. What is water? Water is the type of the word of God. And hail transforms things, you know. If hail falls on your garden, guess what?
You don't have a garden.
You don't have a garden anymore, you know. And anyway, it says that the grizzled horses go toward the south country, okay? And the word for south there, south equals, it means as beginning on the right hand of a person to the east. Think about that one. What did John and them say, mother say, when she came to Jesus, can one of my sons do what?
Sit on your
right hand and one on your left hand? Mm-hmm. And where does the sun rise?
In the east.
Okay. So let's put this stuff together here as we go along. So this grizzled horses are going toward the south and the east, and the two horses go together, see? Mm-hmm. And then the other one was bay, and the bay horse. That's the color of the horse, and that's the red horse, you know, bay horse. And it's a primitive root, and it means to be alert or physical on foot or mentally. And it means encourage, to confirm, to be courageous, of good courage, steadfast, minded, strong, or stronger. Okay? And I did use an amplified scripture here out of 1 John 16:33. And he said, I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you shall have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustrations, but be of good cheer, take courage. Be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world and I have deprived it of the power to harm and have conquered it for you. Okay, so when that other horse is bringing you to a place of where you're going to be alert physically, mentally, you're going to be courageous, you're going to be all these other things, see? That's what it's taking you to. And it says down here, and he went forth and he sought to go, that he might walk to and fro in the earth. And he said, get you hence and walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Now what's he talking about there? Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:6-7 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure In what? Earthen vessels. So what earth is he walking through?
Us.
Our earthen vessel. Okay. Earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay.
On 1 John, what was that? 1 John what?
John 16:33. That was out of the Amplified.
Oh, all right, wasn't.
And that red.
That's the Gospel of John, you know.
All right.
And that red is also the same word for heaven.
Yeah.
And we have these treasured in earthen vessels.
Yeah.
I like that.
Now let's go a little bit here more. And it says, and then he cried unto me and spake and said unto me, behold, these that goeth forth toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north. Mm-hmm. And what he's talking about there is he's saying, when these things come forth in your life, these horses ride through your earthen vessel, okay? Through your earthen vessel, it's going to begin to quiet his spirit inside of you in the hidden and the unknown things, okay? And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, okay? I love this here. Take of them of captivity, even Hedaliah. And the word Hedaliah means worldliness. What brings you into the most captivity when it comes to the things of Lord that hinders you the most? Isn't the worldliness?
Mm-hmm.
What does Scripture say? We're in this world, but we're what?
Not of it.
Not of it. Okay, and we have to be careful because the world always wants to suck you into the worldliness of everything. And it says, take of them of the captive, even of Hedaliah and Tobijah. Now, even in the midst of the worldliness, Tobijah means the goodness of Jehovah or the goodness of God. And God's good. And he's going to be good even in your worldliness at times. And it says, and of Jedidiah, and that God has known, or God knows exactly what he's doing, okay? God has known. Which are come to Babylon, or come from Babylon. Mm-hmm. Babylon means confusion. He comes right in the middle of our confusion, and he's trying to turn us around and show us the hidden and the unknown things. And come thou the same day into the house of Josiah. Now Josiah means founded of God. And all of these things, even in the midst of confusion, we have to come to the house of God because it's founded in him, you know. And the son of Zephaniah. And I love this. And it's Jah has secreted. It's God has secreted. You know, he's given us a secret. What is the secret? What does it say in Colossians? The mystery that's been hidden from past ages and past generations, which now is made as clear as daylight in some translations. It said, and what is that?
Christ
in you, the hope of glory, the hidden thing. Mm-hmm. Past generations wanted to see this, but they didn't see it, okay? Mm-hmm. And then he says, and then this won't take real long. There's only 15 verses here. He says, and then take silver is the equivalent of silver is redemption. You know, even in the natural, our things declare the things of God. The natural declares the things of God. Not nowadays, but years ago, when you had a dollar bill, what did it say on it?
Silver
certificate.
Yes.
Okay, it was what you could redeem things with. Okay, it says take silver, redemption, and gold. Gold is the incorruptible divine nature. That's what it is. Gold is incorruptible. That's why we like gold rings and gold things, because it don't rust, it don't wear out. It
doesn't turn your finger green.
Don't turn your finger green. It's very, very desired to be had. And gold doesn't come from anything in this earth. Did you know that? Scientists, if you check it with scientists, gold comes from the heavens somewhere. It's when something crashed into the earth and it brought gold to the earth. It you can't make gold by adding chemicals together. They've been trying to do that forever. You know, heard of Midas touch and all that. Well, there ain't no such a thing. It comes from the heavens. Gold comes from the heavens. Okay? And that's why it's part of the incorruptible, the divine nature of God. And make crowns and set them on the head of Joshua. Joshua's name means Jehovah saved, or God the Savior. Okay? The son of Josedek. And Josedek means Jehovah righted. God is the one who has to make these things right. You can't make them right. He has to make them right. He's going to be the one that's going to right everything. Okay? Make it right. The high priest. Now, we know that Jesus was considered to be a priest after the order or rank of what?
Melchizedek.
You know, the high priest. That's the true high priest there. You know. It says, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. Okay? We know the original branch was Jesus Christ, right? And we know that in John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, he was the original branch, and you are the branches. And you and he shall grow up out of this place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Who is he?
It's us.
That's the whole company of the branch.
Yeah.
Him and us both, okay? Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon the throne. And he shall be a priest upon the throne. Well, there you go, king priest, Melchizedek, upon the throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. Between who both? What are we to do? He is the prince of peace, and what are we called to do? Blessed are what?
Peacemakers.
The peacemakers. We're called to be a part of that peacemaking stuff. It says, and I love this part down here. And the crown shall be to Helen. I guess I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing all these words exactly right. Helen. And that means a dream.
Helen.
A dream.
Yeah.
Okay. And the root properly to bind firmly by application to cause or make plump. Also the thought, and this is figuratively, sense of dumbness.
Dumbness.
Stupid. Dumbness. Now, what have I told you? What did I tell you that you have to admit to the Lord to get him to really reveal to you, anything to you?
You're dumb.
I'm dumb, Lord. I don't know. I'm stupid. I'm stupid. Because our natural nature is to exalt ourselves. You know, well, I'm educated. I know a lot. No, you don't know nothing when it comes to the things of the Lord.
Yeah.
Admit how dumb you are, how stupid you are, and then he will begin to open it up. And think about this, and it's the cause to dream, and it means it means to recover. Okay, now think about this. We know what Martin Luther King, what was his famous speech? What did he say?
I have a dream.
And I'm going to tell you, when you have a dream of the things of God, he brings them about.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And we have to have that dream nature to where we believe in the things of God. And you know, the things of God are foolishness to man. Mm-hmm. And the wisdom of God is foolishness to man, but it's wiser. But the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. You know, Scripture tells us that. And then it goes down here and it says Tobijah. And Tobijah. And Tobijah says the goodness of Jehovah. We know God's good. And to Jedliah. And that means God has known. God knows. Mm-hmm. And to Hen. H-E-N. And Hen means grace. This thing is all going to happen by grace. It's going to happen by the goodness of God, because God knows that it has to happen by grace. It can only happen by grace. The son of Zephaniah, and that's there again, that's God has secreted. He's made it a secret. And to a memorial, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. Verse 15. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, you know, if you guys want a copy of this, I'll give you a copy of it. I have it kind of highlighted, the things highlighted. But you have to pause on each one of those words. And that's the meaning of those words if you go study them out in Strong's and you know, reference stuff. And that's the meaning of those words. And to read that on the surface, you don't get none of that. It's not, I mean, there's a whole different scenario here as you read that. And that scenario is basically telling you that he's going to ride through the hidden areas of your life, the dark places, you know, but on that dark horse. But he's going to ride through your life, your earthly vessel, with that white horse too. And that white horse is going to bring salvation. It's going to bring understanding. It's going to bring light. But then also with that's going to come that grizzled horse, which means hail. There's going to come some hard water. There's going to have come some hard times for you to walk in the word that God gives you and he shows you. Mm-hmm. It's not that easy sometimes. And the hail's going to beat down some things in your life, break down some things in your life, and change. And that's going to come through the South Country, and the South being the right hand, to get you to the right hand person of God facing the East, to get you to be a part of the right hand of God. And last week we talked about the right hand of God some, and what did I say? If somebody stands on your right hand, what do you have to put in their hand? Your left hand. And left talks about in the natural, if you talk about the natural, everything in this world is geared toward a right-handed person. If you're left-handed, everything's a little bit awkward for you because it's not geared toward a left-handed person. So what do you have to do? You're putting your unskilled. And now, in the Old Testament, all of the sons of Benjamin were left-handed. And they were skilled warriors. And when you hear about what they did with a sling, they said they could kill a hair's breadth, you know, way off with a sling, you know, because they were left-handed. And today, which pitchers get the most money? Left-handed ones. Why? Because the right-handed people can't hit them. Because everybody's right-handed, you know, they're used to doing everything right-handed just about. So, you know. So when you talk about going to the South, and the South talks about the pleasant area too. Where do we all want to go when it's cold weather? Let's go South. Let's go South. You know. But you know, when you think about all these things, even the natural things declare the things of God. You know, but it's the right hand, and it's facing the East. That's where the sun rises. You know, he's going to come out of the East, out of the rising of the sun. The sun in us, you know, and anyway, and when you think about, you know, it also means, you know, to physically or mentally begin to be alert physically or mentally, to have courage, to confirm, to be courageous, you know, it has all those meanings about it, you know, and then, you know, when you go on down. Scripture says these things were told to walk to and fro through the earth, and like I told you in 2 Corinthians 4:6-7 in verse 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." We are the earthen vessels that it's going to walk through. It's going to walk through your life, and you might as well just say, "Come on, horses, come on through!" You know, they're going to come through. You know, the power of God, you know, it might be, it says, have treasure in the earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And it is all about him. But he also said, I'll not give my glory to another. We're not another. We're the branch. We're part of him. So we're going to receive the glory too. But he had the glory as being the only begotten of the Father, only begotten Son of the Father, full of faith, grace and truth. But what did he say? Father, the glory that you've given me, I've done what? I've given it to them, you know. And you know, and he says, let me read that last verse, and we'll go back over this a little bit. And he said, and he cried unto me and said, and spake unto me, saying, behold, these two go toward the north country, and have quieted my spirit in the north. And the word of the Lord come unto me, saying, take of them of captivity. A lot of people are captive in the way they think, in the way that religion has taught them and everything, and in the worldliness of the world. They're captive of that. They let the things of this world just drive them crazy, you know. And I tell you, it ain't hard to get driven crazy today with all the goofy stuff going on everywhere, and all facets of life, political, financial, everything. I mean, you can get pretty worldly in that. But the good thing about that is he says, and to Tobijah, the goodness of Jehovah, you know, the goodness of God, and Jedaliah, because God is known. He knows all about it. He's the one that knows all about it. And when you, and they've come from Babylon, you know, they've come from a place of confusion. And they come the same day, and they go into the house of Josiah, the house that's founded by God. He's the builder and maker. You know, we're laborers, co-laborers with him, but who is the ultimate builder and maker of everything? It's God. You know, the son of Zephaniah. And God's made this stuff a secret. This whole thing here is a secret. Because unless you go and study out each one of these words, you won't see any of this stuff, you know. And you know, he says, take silver, the redemption, and take gold, the divine nature, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, and that's God the Savior, and the son of Josedek, Jehovah's righted, God's going to make it all right, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaks the Lord, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch.
And I love that.
And we know who the branch was. It was him. And we know who the branch is now. It's us. Because we've been engrafted into the tree or the vine of the Lord. And it's the original branch of Jesus Christ. In John 15:5, Jesus said unto, I am the vine and you are the branches. And you shall grow up out of this place. And you shall build the temple of the Lord. You know, we're co-laborers together with God. We know that we're lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. But see, you know, honestly, you got to realize that when these people wrote this stuff down, they had an understanding of this language. They knew what all of these words meant. We don't. We have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to go back and look at things and study into it and say, now, okay, God, what is this really saying here? You know. And when you take all the meaning of all of these names in this portion of Scripture, it paints a picture of exactly what God was going to do. It paints a picture of His salvation. It paints a picture of the goodness of God, and that He knows what He's doing, and that it's going to be through the grace of God, basically. But yet it's been held as a secret. And God's revealed the secret to you. You know about Christ in you. But the world don't know that. They don't know that. You know. And that's going to be for a memorial in the temple of God. Well, you know what a memorial is. That's where you set something up as the main thing. To remember something, you know. And you know what? We have to remember all the time that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know. And that we're in Him, and He's in us, and that completes the circle. And you know, and I love this last verse down here where it says, and this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. And you know, we have to diligently be willing to obey what God tells us. And sometimes it's going to go against the worldliness of the things of the world. It's going to go against the traditions of the elders. It's going to go against the religious traditions that are out there, because there's a bunch of them, and usually they make the word of God of no effect, you know. Well, anyway, has anybody got anything you want to say? Please feel free to speak up now. I just wanted to go through it and tell you what I saw there.
What was that name or word you said meant dumb?
Oh. let me get back and look at it in a minute. Okay, I'll have to look back through it real quick. Let's see. I have to look back over again. I can't find it right now.
Do you see the word Helam in there? What's that mean?
Huh?
Helam. What's that mean? Is it that?
It might have been. Wait a minute. I'll find it in a minute here. I just need to actually read back through this again.
Do you remember what Zephaniah meant?
I can tell you.
Right.
As I look, Zephaniah meant God has secreted. It's Jehovah. It's Jah has secreted.
And Josedek. Josedek,
yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll run you guys a copy of this. You can have a copy of it. I mean, I've got it highlighted, everything here. Mm-hmm. But let me look back through this again so I can find what Debbie was asking about. Mm-hmm.
I think this is good. The copy that you gave us too about the brimstone. Uh-huh. That's good.
Yeah.
I read that. That's very good. All the scriptures.
At the very beginning where and he said, do you not know what are these, my Lord? And in 6:4.
Uh-huh.
And you said, yes, it's important to ask. Tell the Lord.
Tell the Lord, you know, what are these? To ask him questions, you know.
And say, you're so bright and I'm so stupido.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I tell you, I've told him that many times about myself, I tell you.
I think that it was interesting even in 1 Corinthians where we were talking about Paul. He said, I have come here to show you how smart I am.
Right.
I wouldn't dare, you know. I came to reveal only Christ.
Uh-huh.
And I know what I was saying, diligently obey him. And I believe he also wants us to diligently seek him.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Right.
Also.
Oh, here it is. It's Helam. Yeah. It says, and the crowns shall be unto Helam. And that word, that means dream. Okay. And it also it's a primitive root properly to bind firmly. By implication, to be caught, to cause to make plump, also thought through the figure of sense of dumbness.
Mm.
Dumbness.
I don't want anything to make me plump.
Yeah.
It's already there.
When I saw it, I did highlight the thing that said, I did highlight the thing here that said dumbness because I thought, Lord, I admit a lot to you that I'm dumb, I'm stupid when it comes to a lot of this stuff. And you have to be the one to show me because I you know, mm-hmm. I can't figure this out. But I tell you what, he can, and he mm-hmm. hides things.
Mm-hmm.
And he hides it in his word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I say, a Hebrew person who read that mm-hmm. portion of scripture,
mm-hmm.
they would have known what every one of those words meant. But if it was hidden from them, they would have just taken them to be that name. You know what I mean? Not the meaning of that name. And when the translator translated that portion of scripture, he would have translated that the way he did in the regular translation. And the translators missed it sometimes. They missed it pretty bad sometimes. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, this is something that you might consider sometimes. That's one reason why it's important to look up the meaning of names. It's important to look up the numbers when God inspires you to do it, you know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, years ago when I was studying through Zechariah, you know, I mean, if I'd have just read through that in different translations, I would have not seen any of this stuff that I just told you. But you know, but the thing about it is that, you know, the Lord had me look at the names, you know. I know one time years and years ago, I think it was about the second or third time I spoke at church, you know, I was praying and I asked, you know, I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what would you have me share on? And I hadn't been studying in the book of Revelations at all. And he took me into the book of Revelations. And I got into the book of Revelations about the 144,000, you know. And when I looked at the 144,000, I was looking at them and I felt like the Lord was saying, look at the meaning of their names, you know. And I went back into the Old Testament and found the order of their birth, you know. And I looked at the New Testament, I compared it, and I thought, you know, hey, this in the New Testament, this is out of order. This is not in the order of their birth in Revelations. And I thought, now God, I know God's a God of order, so something's happening here. What's happening here? You know what I mean? And that's why I, you know, I've had people years ago ask me, Oscar, how do you study? And I said, well, I ask questions. Who, what, why, where, and how? Who is it talking about? Why is it talking about this? What is it talking about? You know, how does this apply to me? You know, and that kind of, those kind of questions, you know. And when you begin to ask that, and you're basically telling the Lord, I don't know. You know, what do you say? And what happened was, is I began to see when I looked at that chapter of Revelation back there, as I started looking at their names, I began to realize that he was basically saying, until I seal my servants in their forehead, hurt not the earth. And then I began to see, I felt like God was saying, I'm going to have to seal you in every one of these characters of these names, because name is synonymous with nature and character, you know. He said, and I felt like he was saying, I'm going to have to seal you in every one of these areas. And when you've been sealed in every one of these areas, then if you go to the 14th chapter of Revelations, you see the 144,000 standing upon Mount Zion. See? So they've ascended into the hill of the Lord. And just to give you an example here, a thousand is divine completeness, the glory of God. Four is the number for world and creation. So I don't know if 144 is in here. Yeah, it is. It is here. 144 is the spirit-guided life. That's the meaning of that number, spirit-guided life. Well, when he has sealed you in all of those names, you know, one of the first ones there was, I can't think right now which one it was. I think it was the first one in Revelations, was that I can't remember if that was Reuben or it might have been, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look it up. But
he was the oldest, right?
Reuben was the oldest. He wasn't the first one mentioned. It was out of their order. It was.
What is that? Revelation.
Revelations chapter 6 or 7. One. I see her. Get back here. But anyway, I spoke on that just about the second or third time I had spoke. Now here I'm thinking, Lord, I haven't even studied into Revelations, and you took me up into Revelations and started having me speak out of this, you know. And let's see what it says.
In the fifth verse in the seventh chapter,
Judah
said 12,000 were sealed, marked out of the tribe of
Judah. Judah was first. Okay, Judah means praise.
Yeah.
So that means what the Lord was telling me, well, you have to get to the point where you praise me in all things. When you're sealed in your praise, to where you can praise me no matter what's going on, then you're sealed in that area. And then the next one, I think, was Reuben, wasn't it?
Yes,
Reuben was the firstborn, and Reuben was see your son. You have to begin to see the Son of God in all things. When you see him in all things, the good, the bad, no matter what's going on, and you see him in the middle of it, then you're sealed in that area. And if you go on down to each one of them, I mean, it's...
All right, where is the part that you were saying is different from the Old Testament?
Okay.
In the...
Well, you'd have to go into... Well, you'd have to go back into the genealogies in Genesis, it would be.
Yeah.
In Genesis, you'd have to go back and... I don't know exactly where it's at right now. Let me see something.
I remember vaguely, you know, some probably.
Genesis, the birth order of the sons of Israel, Jacob. And even if there's even the truth, and I should speak on this stuff again sometimes, because mm-hmm. even the ones that they were born from, you know, the ladies they were born from, you know. You'd be surprised, most of them were born from Leah, the ugly sister.
The sister ugly.
And Leah's name means, now tell me if you've all have experienced this, it means tiredness,
tiresome.
Disgustedness,
yeah.
Loathsomeness. It just has, six negative meanings to that name. Six negative meanings. Rachel means a ewe lamb, the predominant female of a flock. And what does the predominant female of a flock do? What is it? What do they do? They birth other lambs, you know. And Rachel only had two sons. Mm-hmm. She had Joseph and Benjamin. Mm-hmm. And you know, Joseph's name means God is giving increase, the vine that goes over the wall, basically.
Mm-hmm. And he does it true.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Son
of the right hand, Benjamin, see.
And Leah was really rejected.
Well?
She was rejected in the sense that's not who he wanted.
No.
Yeah, he wanted. No. But in their setup and the way
right.
their traditions are.
Tradition was the eldest.
The eldest
first, yeah.
And so that's who he got. But
well, and who did that to him? Who did that?
Laban.
Laban.
Yeah, and then
he was at Laban's house. The house where he was supposed to, light, the church. He was at the church. That's where he really was. He was at the church. And what does the church do to you sometimes?
The trend.
They want you to marry Leah.
Yeah.
They made him work. Yeah.
For all those years.
Yeah. But just think about it too. And when made him marry Leah, and Leah was the ugly sister supposedly. It said she was dim of eyes and stuff. It doesn't come out and say she was ugly, but she wasn't. And it said Rachel was beautiful. You know, apparently she was really beautiful. But how many years did he serve to get him? I think it was 7 years, wasn't it?
Each.
In chapter 35 of Genesis, the 23rd verse, it lists out the mothers and who their kids were.
Yeah, you almost have to go through two chapters to get them all because it doesn't... Some of them are missing, you know, as you go down through there, you know. Like Benjamin wasn't born until Jacob was in captivity.
Yes.
I don't think he even was around when Joseph was in captivity.
Benjamin because was Joseph was the baby.
Right,
know.
Right. Yeah, but it's just amazing the way God laid all that out. And I'm going to tell you what. You got to realize that a lot of times the situation God's allowed you to be in, what seems to be the bad situations will cause you to grow more than the good situations.
That's right.
You know,
that's so.
Because as you begin to see the hand of God in everything that's going on in your life, that's where you begin to really, really grow.
And it's caused you to
draw
closer to him and to seek him and to depend more upon him and
Well, the way I ever started studying into that their life back there, like I said, I was in an elders meeting years ago, and it was kind of a controversial elders meeting, and there was a little bit of friction, and this was with the old time elders, you know, and it was a little, and I come out of there, and you know, I don't think I said two words in there. I just sit there and listen.
You came out happy.
I come out, and I, the joy of the Lord was bubbling up inside of me, and I'm thinking, man, I should be down the way this was going. I should be, oh, my God, what was going on? You know, because it was kind of a contentious meeting. And I get in the car, and the joy of the Lord is just bubbling up in me, and I'm just driving down the street praising the Lord in the car. And I felt like the Lord said, Abraham was a type of the father. Isaac was a type of the son. Jacob was a type of the inheritor to whom the promise would come. And I thought, okay, Lord, I probably should have went in and tried to write a poem on that. I didn't, but I haven't at this point. But I started studying into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what I found out when I studied into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I found out Abraham's original name, Abram, meant high father. You know, like a high type father. And Abraham meant father of a multitude, you know. And here, when God changed his name to Abraham, I mean, that was almost like a kick in the face to him because he didn't have no kids then at that point, you know. But, you know, and you know, then you look at Isaac, and what did Isaac do? Isaac did absolutely nothing except go back and redig the wells of his father. Abraham, where the enemies had clogged them up, throw dirt in them. Now, if Abraham was a type of the Father, God the Father, Isaac was a type of the Son. Who was the Son? Jesus Christ. What did he say about you? Out of your innermost being shall flow what?
Rivers of living.
And he come to redig the wells in you, and in me, and in all of us.
I was singing that on the way down there.
And then Jacob was a type of the inheritor to whom the promise would come. And yet, what was Jacob? Jacob had to have his encounter with God Almighty, El Shaddai. Mm-hmm. And that encounter that he had, if you go back and read it in Genesis, that encounter he had, it says that he threw his hip out of joint. But if you really go back and study into the words, it says he grabbed him by the loins. Mm-hmm. That's a different. That's a little bit different.
Yeah.
You grab a man by the loins and you've got control of him, buddy. And he said, "Let me go." He blessed me, and he said, "I won't let you go." You know, and he said, "Bless me," and he says, "I won't bless you." He said, "What's your name?" He said, "Jacob." And Jacob means supplanter, deceiver, all those kind of things. He says, "From henceforth, your name shall be Israel. He shall rule as God." And that's what that really means. And back in King James, it'll say a prince or a prevailer with God. But really, if you look at Strong's, it's he shall rule as God, Israel. And you know what? He had to rule as God in his life.
Yes.
And when you look at that whole story, and then you see how when Joseph brought the two sons before him, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh, you know, brought them before him. Yeah, and he crossed his hands, Joseph's not so, Father, not so. You know, he get all worked up, not so, Father. And then he told him, he says, I know it, my son, I know it. But said his eyes were dim.
Israel,
he couldn't see in the natural. But Israel beheld him, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that's so good.
Yeah.
Talking about the 12 sons of Jacob.
Yeah.
Leah's handmaiden and Rachel's handmaiden had two sons each.
Right. So, right. That's how they got the 12. But the thing about it was, is that in up here in Revelations, one of the things I noticed when I was looking at the sons there was that Dan was not in there. And Dan means judgment. So what God was telling me, he was saying, look, when you're sealed in all these, you won't judge people. You won't judge with that kind of judgment, with natural judgment. You'll judge them with the love of God. You know, that's a different, whole different situation.
So in Revelation, there's no Dan.
No Dan.
Was there another in place?
Well, the two sons of Joseph were put in there. Ephraim and Manasseh. Mm-hmm. And think about it. Ephraim means dual fruit, a double portion. Mm-hmm. That's who Jacob put his right hand on, the double portion. And Manasseh means causing to forget. Mm. And what does that mean to you scripturally, causing to forget? What's the scripture say? Forgetting those things which are behind,
yes.
I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I mean, oh my God. He puts that word where it just fits so perfectly. I mean, all of those things. When he opens that stuff up, it's just amazing. Yeah, it blows your mind. It does. And your natural mind, for sure.
It does.
Will somebody close us up here in a word of prayer?
Oh, Father, how we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for revealing yourself to us, mm-hmm. Lord. Mm-hmm. Opening the truth, the word to mm-hmm. us, that we may know you. Thank you, oh God. And as we go to the next service, Father, may you be glorified, mm-hmm. worshiped, and honored, oh God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, if any of you guys want.